Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the phone with me for this segment, I have Dr. Mark Trawless. He is a board-certified OBGYN and a fertility specialist that regularly advocates on Capitol Hill for non-discriminatory infertility insurance coverage that often affects the LGBTQ community. So thank you for joining me today, Doctor. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Stephen. Anytime.
Now, you say that the outdated definition of infertility and state surrogacy laws create tremendous obstacles for the LGBTQ community. Why is that?
Well, I don't think that they recognize, or I know they don't recognize, the fact that LGBTQ community do not conceive in the same manner as a heterosexual couple. So the heterosexual definition of infertility for women less than 35 is 1 year of unprotected intercourse. Obviously, that's not applicable for lesbian, gays, or transgender. So this needs to be 21st century laws that are open to everyone.
How can insurers offer benefits that aren't discriminatory to the LGBTQ community?
Well, I think it's really a question of defining infertility as the inability to have a child. The World Health Organization, in about 10 years ago, defined infertility as a disease. And so I don't think that LGBTQ patients should be discriminated because of their choice of a sexual partner and a life partner. If they are unable to conceive in the manner that it becomes natural to them, then it should be able to be covered through assisted reproductive technologies. And we can do that in a variety of ways. So obviously, the lesbian patient lesbian couple can do this through either intravaginal insemination of donor sperm or intrauterine. That's the least expensive. But then when we get into a gay male couple, they need an egg donor and a surrogate. And some of these price tags can be $100,000 or more. And a lot of this is self-pay. So we see a tremendous amount in Florida coming regionally, but also internationally, because of some countries banning surrogacy. And very few states, but there are some states in this country that even ban surrogacy.
Okay, how can members of the LGBTQ community comply with discriminatory insurance requirements?
Well, how can they comply with it is going to states that, firstly, are more friendly toward surrogacy, like Florida or California. These states will allow good laws to protect the intended parents. So, and that's what people do from other countries as well. So you just get a good reproductive health attorney to ensure that once a baby is born, that the names of the intended parents are on the birth certificate.
Now, you did mention that some of these treatments are quite costly, but why don't more employers or insurers provide coverage for fertility treatments?
Well, you're preaching to the choir there, Stephen, and that's much to the sadness of many of us in the reproductive world. It's been calculated that if employers provided that mandated coverage to their employees and included that in the benefits, it would cost all of their covered lives less than $4 a month to added premium. Doesn't seem like a lot to me, but for some reason, it's insurmountable to others. Now, I've been an advocate for fertility patients, including, of course, LGBTQ. I was in Washington last month. I'll be there again in May as part of the American Society for Reproductive Medicine's Advocacy Day. I was at Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome Advocacy Day. And this is a question of getting awareness raised and educating about the problems that fertility patients are facing. And I've been interviewed a lot about this topic. And I as much as it appears to be discriminatory with LGBTQ patients, and advocates did not include them and target them in the original push to get some laws, I think all infertility patients are being discriminated, because there's only 16 states right now, Stephen, that mandate fertility coverage in some manner. It's not all the states that are great coverage. So you have to read it state by state, and it varies. So So we have an uphill battle, but New York looks like they're getting close to being able to pass for fertility preservation in cancer patients, as well as for infertility to include LGBTQ. And it's hopefully a slow tide, but I applaud the LGBTQ patients for being more open and vocal about their desire to build their family. And so this is getting awareness out there. I've been able to do this with lesbian couples, gay couples, even transgender couples. I had a transgender male who stopped his testosterone, and we retrieved eggs from his ovaries, added donor sperm through in vitro fertilization, IVF, and then transferred the embryo into his partner, and she had a baby. So there are many ways to assist the LGBTQ patients. I think it's important, though, that fertility clinics make all their patients comfortable, particularly LGBTQ. I think that even though we are very, very friendly to all of our patients, LGBTQ patients are even anxious when they come to see us after the first 5 minutes or so, when they see how open and welcoming we are. They get relaxed. But you hear some, unfortunately, sad stories.
Now, why do you suppose is IVF not covered by some insurance companies? Is it just too expensive, or what is the reason?
Well, the short answer is I wish I knew. The long answer is that they consider the cost of IVF prohibitive, rather than multiple less successful cycles of intrauterine insemination, or IUI. So just briefly, IUI is where we process sperm, wash it through a special media, and then with a small catheter, pass it through the cervix up into the uterus. And that's usually after a woman has been on fertility medication, or in the case of a lesbian couple, donor sperm, and then when she ovulates, we pass the sperm. But that's not very successful. I mean, you're dealing with 10 to maybe 20% per month. But then you look at IVF, for younger women, you'll see 50-60% success rates. Why they cover multiple cycles of IUI, if they do cover any at all, is hard to imagine. And I talked earlier about the issue of if you provide these, the premium distributed to all the members is less than $4 per month. And it really would constitute less than 1.5% of the total health care benefit costs. So I think it's sad to see that patients have to beg, borrow, and steal, essentially, to be able to get coverage for IVF, and it should be. If in states where there is coverage for IVF, less embryos are transferred, there's less pressure to transfer more embryos to get a couple pregnant on that one cycle, and the less embryos that are transferred, Stephen, the less risk of multiple births, because multiple birth is a complicated pregnancy. And these patients who do deliver multiples, these babies will end up often in the neonatal intensive care unit, the NICU, and that is tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars for an individual case. And then over cumulatively, this gets to be a very, very big price tag. So you could argue that doing IVF and having coverage for that would reduce the overall health care cost of fertility.
Great. Now, we talked a little bit about insurance hurdles. What additional insurance hurdles might the LGBTQ community face, even if they have a health care plan that covers fertility treatments?
Well, I think it's a question of being comprehensive. Every state varies in terms of, right now, the mandated states, and there's only about 16 of them, maybe four or five of them will cover fertility preservation in cancer patients, but the coverage varies from state to state. So patients need to read their coverage very carefully to know. Like, we have some patients that they have fertility coverage, but then it says you need to do six IUI cycles before you could do IVF. Well, some patients, IUI is not successful for a variety of reasons, or not even a very good option. So we have a heterosexual couple whose man has a poor sperm count. And IUI is really not the best way to go. So the other consideration, though, for specifically for LGBTQ, is yes, fertility is covered, but is it going to cover surrogacy and egg donation for a gay male? That may be much more difficult to get. They seem to be. There just seems to be a little bit more amenable, more supportive of surrogacy, but not utilized by gay men. you know, it's an uphill battle, Stephen. We have a lot of work to do, but I'm definitely committed in my state for advocacy and joining the cause nationally to help all patients who want to build families do it without having to break the bank to do it.
So how can these discriminatory insurance laws be changed? What needs to be done?
Well, it's education. For for example, if you have what can people do for the federal government to mandate this coverage? And federal employees can educate their lawmakers. This may start in grassroots as well. It involves education and awareness, but it also takes a lot of effort to do that. Now, there is a federal fertility bill for general IVF and as well as fertility preservation, and that is going to be introduced into the Senate soon, for hopefully to getting some passage and then building momentum to get it ultimately passed through. So these are the things that are being done, like organizations such as Resolve that are very, very strong advocates. I was just with the Polycystic Ovary Syndrome Association called PCOS Challenge. There are also pharmaceutical companies. I've been in touch with a pharmaceutical company called Ferring. They are helping advocate for better coverage for fertility patients. But as I said, it's an uphill battle. Fortunately, though, the newer laws that are being passed are more inclusive of all fertility patients, including fertility preservation in cancer patients, and including the LGBTQ patients.
Now, the legislation you were talking about, were you referring to the Equality Act?
No, this is a federal fertility bill. The Equality Act, I believe, was introduced maybe just a few weeks ago, and that's very exciting. That was pushed through, and the hope, of course, is that it changes the face of the Civil Rights Act from 1964 and includes LGBTQ, not just in infertility, but in every aspect and every way of life.
Now, as we get ready to close, if there's one point you could make to LGBTQ couples that have had insurance problems with IVF or fertility or surrogacy problems, what would that point be?
Well, I think that it's important to know that, unfortunately, surrogacy is costly. And if you do go the route of surrogacy, know the information up front, how much it's going to cost, what are the laws in the state, get a good reproductive health attorney that is well experienced, well versed on the laws to protect yourselves, and understand that laws vary based on the relationship that the individuals have with each other. Married, if they're not married, they may have to adopt baby. One of the partners may have to adopt the baby. In terms of insurance, there's no easy answer. It is being tenacious and perseverance. My personal view is that good people should be allowed to be parents without having to take out loans and second mortgages and borrowing from family. This is it's not fair. And so we have to do everything we can to help good people become parents.
Okay, Dr. Mark Trawless, board-certified OBGYN and a fertility specialist that regularly advocates on Capitol Hill for non-discriminatory infertility insurance coverage that affects the LGBTQ community. So thank you once again for joining me today, Doctor. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Stephen. Thank you for including me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.